We're not going to preach from this, but we'd like to read this before we read the scripture we're going to preach from. Just two or three verses here. Psalm 71, and verse 16 says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. I wish I could be like the psalmist. I am a little bit like him. I'm old and gray-headed. So it says here he's old and gray-headed, didn't he? But I'm not much like him in this last verse here. Not like I'd like to be. I wonder today if we're as interested in that next generation as we should be. We'd like to turn to their Bibles, the book of Deuteronomy this morning in the 8th chapter and read in the 8th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither thy fathers know, that he might make this known, that man doth not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy remnant waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and of depths and springs and out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranate, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, and whose stones are on, and out of those hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statute which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and droughts, where there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy father knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou sayest in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord our God. We'd like to think about this morning. Let's not forget that God has done for us. You know, we're living in a day today that all these things you read about here, this is one of the most prosperous times that people could live in today, in this nation, in great prosperity. They wonder today, are we forgetting about that God has blessed us with? They forgot. We may say, but we won't forget. But we might. We could. So we want to think this morning about, let us not forget that God has done for us. We'd like to go to the book of Romans now and read some passage of scripture in the book of Romans. You know, everything that the Lord has done for us is because of his love, because he loved us. Even if it was a time that he had to lay his chastening hand upon us, it was because he loved us. And he did it there because he loved us, and he was going to bless us and bring us back in line where we could be happy once again. So here in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We believe today that God foreknew everyone, everywhere, knew what they was, but we believe he foreknew us special. And he foreknew us before the foundation of the world.
Amen,
we'll get to some of those passages of scripture a little farther on. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. We believe that God has placed the church in this world. We believe he's given pastors and teachers there to conform them to more like the image of his Son. That was God's plan. That plan's working. God's using that. And he's organizing churches, and he's giving them pastors and teachers, and those pastors are working and laboring there that the church might be lifted up and strengthened. More of whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So this is all going to come to pass one of the days. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, surely God is for us. He's been for us before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
You know, I believe that he loved me before the foundation of the world. I believe that he gave me unto his Son.
Amen.
We'd like to turn to the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John tonight. We're going to think about some things now that God has done for us. Here in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, says these words, spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that thou might know the only true God, the Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Down in about verse 9, we have once again, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Another place, down in about verse 11, it says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep those thine own, in thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one with us. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, and those thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. It speaks about another passage of scripture in John 6:37. Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast out. You know, he hasn't only given us, but he loved us.
Amen.
Notice now, we find here in these scriptures here, let's go over just a little bit farther here. We said we believe that every person that was going to be saved, we believe that God foreknew them. It speaks in the book of Jude in the first chapter, or the only chapter. It says, sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. So we believe everyone here today that has been saved, and everyone's going to be saved, they've been preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen,
it's set apart by God, and he's going to bring that about. He's going to save them. Now, here, continuing on in this 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them unto the world, meaning the apostles with the church there. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for them alone, but for them that also which shall believe on me through thy word. He's not only praying for those that are already saved, but he's praying for those that's going to be saved, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. As the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, and as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. In John, the first John, the third chapter, says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we might be called the sons of God.
Amen.
Boy, that's something to think about today. Think about his love. Now, this verse of scripture here is saying, here, let's read it again, in them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast loved me as thou hast loved them. And as thou hast loved me. Now, we believe this all was taking place about this love, or when this love is bestowed upon us whenever we was born to this world. We believe that love was before the foundation of the world. Now let's notice the next passage of the scripture here in verse 24. Father, I will that thou also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. Now he said he loved them before the foundation of the world, and he says, thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. And I believe he loved us before the foundation of the world also.
Amen.
We're talking about things God has done for us. God loved us before the foundation of the world. God gave us to His Son. And God called us, and He saved us by His marvelous grace.
Amen.
Let's go back here to the book of Romans again. And notice here in the book of Romans, in this 8th chapter, which that reads in verse 29 again. For when He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. We believe that God foreknew Saul of Tarsus. We believe that He foreknew the woman at the well. We believe that He foreknew the thief on the cross. We believe that He foreknew all people there before the foundation of the world He was going to save. And He brought about that they was made to hear the word. So again in verse 30, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And He called, them He also glorified, justified, and was glorified. We want to think a little about this call. You know, this was a effectual call. A call that God brought about, that it was an effectual call.
Yes.
More than that, over in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, in verse 1, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession of Christ Jesus. This was a heavenly calling. Also, we have in the book of 1 Thessalonians, how it reads in 1 Thessalonians, and in verse 3 it says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope and of Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So we see this was not a powerful calling. It was a powerful by the Holy Spirit making the word effective. And it caused people here to realize, it caused us to realize we was sinners, it caused us to realize there are a great need of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, and also is revealed unto us that Jesus loved us before the foundation of the world, and that He came into this world and to suffer and to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary. Now let's notice again here in the book of Romans how it reads. In verse 30, of whom He did predestinate, them He also called, them He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, we think about that God has done for us. And that we find the word us in many of these passages of Scripture referring to ones going to be saved. And He speaks here in verse 32, and He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Over in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, says, all we like sheep have gone astray, everyone has turned his own way, but God has laid upon Him the iniquities of us all. So this passage of Scripture here says He spared not His own Son. You know, the time came that Jesus was to go to the cross of Calvary and to there be nailed to the cross and suffer and bleed and die on the cross of Calvary. And there God spared not His Son from there from much shame of being spit upon and the nails being drove through His hands and through His feet. And there being nailed to the cross, And there God spared not his son there, but our sins was rolled upon him there. And he took our sins upon him. But God spared not his son. God done that for us. We're talking about things God has done for us. And he went there to the cross and suffered. He went there willingly, his own self. But God spared not his own son from that. He spared, he made him to be sin for us. That we might be made the righteousness of God.
Amen.
So these things, as we think about them today, the wonderful things that the Lord done, let's notice over in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John for just a little while. Here in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, came the time that God was going to bring this to pass, that Jesus was going to suffer and die on the cross of Calvary. And here in this 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, about verse 25, now there stood at the cross Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, and wife, Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, when he loved, he saith unto his mother, Mother, behold thy son. Then saith he unto his disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that time, or from that hour, that disciple took her into his home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. Now Jesus knew that all the things that had been spoke of him down through the Old Testament, down through the New Testament, now had been, it was going to be accomplished. There's not going to be anything more to be done for our sins to be paid for. But it is going to be accomplished. It's going to be taken care of. And there he says, after this, Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And there he gave his life there on the cross of Calvary. Oh, let's not forget that God has done for us. He gave his son to die on the cross. He gave him willingly. There. And he, there at that time, and here as he cried out, says, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon his hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I don't believe that his head was laying down on his chest or his chin like some people might think, but it says he bowed his head. Right there at the time of death, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. No, today we think about that the Lord has done for us. We want to go to the book of 1 Corinthians and notice in 1 Corinthians, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, how that reads. In 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, and in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Amen.
Moment twinkling in one eye. And the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised and incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's that word us there once again. giveth us the victory. We have the victory. He giveth the victory there.
Amen, brother.
And so there's many other places that it speaks about what God did for us, doing for us. And let's not forget that the Lord has done for us.
Amen.
Notice here in Ephesians how that reads in Ephesians, the first chapter and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Blessed us. Notice the next verse. According as he has chosen us in him. That word us, continually. Down in verse 2. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Known down in verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudent, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his great power or good pleasure, which he hath purposed there before the foundation of the world within himself. Let's go now down to the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. And here it speaks about in the first part of this how that the and you hath he were quickened who were dead in trespass and sin, where in time past you walked according to the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, in whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Oh, the great love of God, even there when we was dead in trespass and sin. There, notice in verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places, Christ Jesus. Oh, this many passages of Scripture in the Bible about that the Lord has done for us. Now let's notice something else here in closing this morning. The book of Galatians says, let us not be weary and well done.
Amen.
Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. In Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside. In Hebrews 4:14. Let us hold fast our profession. Amen. Philippians 3:15. There in 16. Down in Revelation 19:6, let us rejoice and be glad. John 5:10-11, also speaking some of the same things. In Romans there and 1 John, and all of these is speaking about that the Lord has done for us, and they're using the little word us time after time. And oh, how today I wonder if we, maybe in this great time we're living in today, that so much prosperity, so much riches, and you know, over in the book of Deuteronomy where we read to you, it says that he gave us wisdom that we might get wealth. He gave us that wisdom that we might get wealth.
Amen.
We have it, don't we, a lot of us. Lots of prosperity, lots of work going on, not a home, fine home being built.
Yeah.
And then all the things that God has done for us, and loved us, gave his son, loved us as he loved him as he loved us. And there at that time, and now he's saying over in the book of Deuteronomy, forget not. Forget not.
Amen.
But today I'm afraid that we are forgetting.
Amen.
These riches, these fine homes, and all the things, the material things of this world.
Yeah.
That people has to think about. Our minds are not upon that God has done for us.
True,
and we're not as thankful as we should be.
Amen.
For that God has done for us.
Amen.
I realize today that God has blessed me and my wife, been good to us. We're thankful today for our pastor and his wife. So mindful of us and our needs and all the church members. And thankful that we're a member of the church there. Thankful God has added us unto the church. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife, I think about her all the time. She had polio when she was 9 years old. And she has to have one shoe of one number and another shoe of another number. She should get them. But she buys her pair of shoes and then she puts a lot of insoles and her heel pieces in and shapes it up so that other foot will fit the shoe that she gets. I try to get her to buy two different sizes, but she won't do it. But thank God she hasn't quit going to church and serving the Lord.
Amen.
And thank God one day she's not going to be a cripple.
Amen.
She's not going to be a cripple. May God bless you.
Amen, Brother Connor. Amen.